The European Union welcomes 10 new members today, Cyprus, Malta, and 8 former Soviet satellites, Poland, the Czech Republic, Hungary, Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania, Slovakia, and Slovenia. Now, increasing the size of the EU to 25 members was always envisioned as a way to reunify a continent. But NPR's Silvia Poggioli reports that many new and old members are approaching this event with mutual doubt and suspicion.
In 1989, when the Berlin Wall fell and East European communist regimes began to tumble, the most popular slogan among the newly enfranchised peoples was, "We're coming back to Europe." But 14 years later, the old member states are worried enlargement will sink the boat. And new members worry they'll be engulfed by a powerful and greedy West. Joseph Joffe, editor of the German weekly Die Zeit, says the two sides of the continent have mirror-like stereotypes of each other.
We think hordes of Slavic armies will pour across our borders on May 1 to take away our jobs, occupy our cities, and cut into a tight and expensive housing market. This is one fear. The mirror image of this fear is they think hordes of Germanic revanchists in the third generation will pour across the border to occupy Bratislava, Prague, and Posen and Szczecin.
In fact, enlargement negotiations included strict clauses that allow old member states to close their job markets to workers from newcomer states for up to 7 years, while new members are allowed to restrict land sales to foreigners. One of the strongest fears in the East is loss of national sovereignty and identity, as well as a brain drain. Czech President Václav Klaus, a staunch Eurosceptic, has warned that the Czech Republic will dissolve into the EU like a lump of sugar in a cup of coffee. Jiří Pehe, director of New York University in Prague, says neither side really knows what will happen after enlargement.
It is not a good situation. I think that a lot of us Europeans do have all kinds of prejudices when it comes to Europe's East. And at the same time, perhaps a lot of East Europeans expected more of the West. They feel that the process of enlargement has taken a long time and that perhaps the West was quite reluctant to expand to the East.
The enlarged European Union will embrace sharply disparate economies. The new members have a combined GDP of less than 5% of the current 15 members. One of the major apprehensions in Western Europe is that the low-wage countries in the East will lure away wealth and jobs, and that enlargement will prove as much an economic and social burden as reunification has been in Germany. In the East, there are fears that Western products will push local goods off store shelves, and that prices, fares, and taxes will soar. And the newcomers feel they're being treated as second-class citizens because their farmers won't receive the same amount of agricultural aid received by the current member states. The new member states will have to eventually adopt the euro as their currency, but first they'll have to meet several criteria, including limits on public debt, budget deficits, inflation, and interest rates. The gulf between the two sides of the continent has raised the specter of a two-speed Europe and prompted a Czech commentator to complain that his country is joining the EU naked and without any real friends. But Katrinka Barish of the Center for European Reform, a London-based think tank, sees the benefits of West European companies relocating in low-cost and low-wage East European countries.
So enlargement allows us to move towards a more efficient division of labor, if you want, within the European Union, with some countries doing more high-tech things and some countries doing more labor-intensive things. And that will help the European economy as a whole, and the European Union will be a stronger economy.
In a nod to national traditions and sensitivities, the EU has exempted new members from some of the rules contained in its 80,000-page regulations. For example, Poland and Slovakia may continue to produce their sheep milk cheese, even though their production doesn't meet EU food hygiene standards. And hunters in Malta will be allowed to shoot migratory quail and turtle doves each spring in defiance of EU rules. Recent surveys among the newcomers show that the large majority identifies first with their nation, secondly with Europe. But commentators agree that apprehension about enlargement is mainly among members of the older generation. Joseph Joffe of Die Zeit says that young East Europeans are eager to embrace modernity.
As in all countries, the young ones do see the chance and opportunities, which has to do with migration, with finding jobs in Brussels and Paris, which has to do with going to university in Western Europe. It is go west, young man, thus repeating the American experience of 100 years ago. For them, it's another frontier which they can go to conquer.
Given their experience of communist domination during the Cold War, the new East European members are staunchly pro-American, another possible cause of conflict with founding EU members such as France and Germany. After centuries of disputes and savage wars, and after a half century of ideological separation, Europeans are embarking on an ambitious project to inhabit a common house, a cohabitation that might be more fractious than harmonious. Silvia Poggioli, NPR News.